A lot of people around us are struggling, and I'm speaking to some that are right now. It may be through work, could be finances, could be relational issues that are going on, health, could be fear of what's going on in the future. I mean, right now, and we see this throughout our country, is that people really are struggling, struggling to know what to believe and know, is there any end in sight to what we've been going through these last 4 months. And when we address things like this, it is easy, if we're not careful, to think that God is either unaware or uncaring. But throughout the Bible and through Jesus' teaching, we see that God has a keen awareness of what life on earth is like. The Bible's never pretended that life is somehow going to be just easy and breezy. And in fact, we look at what the Bible teaches, and what it is we see that there's instead of a promise that life will be easy and comfortable and pain-free, we see that it's just the opposite, that there is no heaven on earth, that life, there'll be times when it is going to be difficult, there'll be times of joy too, but there'll be times of struggle. And in the midst of that, God promises that he will take care of us. Listen to this. This is from 2 Peter. And I just love this, and it goes along with the series we've been doing. It says, and because of his glory and excellence, that just means that because of who God is, that he is good, he's wise, he's loving, he's fully capable to do anything that he wants to do. It says, because of this, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. God, the moment you and I become followers of Jesus, God takes us on as his beloved children. And he gives us the capacity to live brand new kind of lives. And these lives are in the midst of a broken and difficult world. But it's a capacity that allows us to thrive and to withstand whatever comes our way, and to do it not just with gritted teeth, but with a sense of purpose and a sense of dignity and a sense of hope. We've been in this series, we've looked at several things. One is that God promises to be always aware of what's going on with you and me, and he has really good plans for us. We looked at this pathway, and the plan God has, sometimes we see what it is, but there's a lot over on the other side of the hill we don't see. He does. And because he does, we can trust him. And we have constant access to him in prayer. It's like this satellite here. There's never a time where we're out of God's jurisdiction. He hears our prayer and he's eager to respond. He also promises that he will provide everything we need, because he knows what our lives can be, can accomplish, and what he wants to see coming in and through my life and yours, and that we have great purpose with our lives. We don't necessarily get to see it all, but we can rest assured that our lives have purpose. And he provides for us not just what we want or what makes us feel good, but it's like this caterpillar. Caterpillar's born, and all it does is eat and grow. Has no idea that one day it's going to be able to fly if it follows along with what it was created for. God's going to lead us sometimes into things that are difficult and hard. And he does that because it's part of our training. It's developing the kind of muscles. It's kind of like going through boot camp in the military. Probably very few people enjoy it, but the benefits of it far outweigh the difficulty of it. And because there's a greater purpose, God's going to use even difficulty in our lives to take care of us. And he also promises that when we blow it, when we're wrong, when we get out of line, when we get off the path, that he will forgive us. If we will come to him with genuine sorrow and a willingness to repent, he'll forgive us and restore us. Our relationship is not ruined. And today we're going to be looking at something. I want to spend a few minutes with this, and that is that God will reward our faithfulness. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Let me read this again. Listen to what it says. And it is impossible to please God without faith. The idea of faith is just, it's a genuine trust in him. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those, and this is the important part, who sincerely seek him. Faith is the only way to really please God. God's not interested in you and I just doing a lot of rituals and traditions and going through, just doing good things. There's something more to this relationship with him that he wants us to get. And this idea of sincerely seeking him is what's critical. And this idea of faith, we're going to look at this further, seeking him in a minute. And in fact, let me just say this too, plug for our prayer nights on Monday night. This coming Monday night, we're talking about what does it mean to really, really consider who God is? What does it mean to have our mind focused on him? Not what he's going to give us, not what he offers us, but him and him alone. The word faith in this verse, it has to do with the idea of trusting, being committed to someone. Actually, the word faithful, let me give you a definition of that. It means trusting, it means loyal, it means devoted. It means to be genuinely obedient to someone. Becky and I have made a commitment that we're going to be faithful to each other. Not just going through the motions, but because of our love and our devotion to each other, we will genuinely be faithful to each other and care about the other person's needs. You know, the truth is you can do all kind of good things when it comes to our spiritual life. We can do good religious activities and rituals we can follow and traditions and all that. But you can do that without being genuinely devoted to God. If I am genuinely devoted to God, though, I will be doing those things, but from a different motive, not just to go through the motions or not just optics, but because I love him, I want to do whatever I can to honor and please him. And that's what this passage in Hebrews is talking about, is if I am sincerely seeking God, it will be borne out in this faith, this trust, this devotion, this heart set on him. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This thing of trusting in God, it comes down to a heart and mind set on him, and then it bears itself out in practical ways. I'm going to give you two. We've mentioned this many times at New Hope, but there are some things that are hard to measure. It's hard to measure attitude. It's hard to measure sincerity. But there are some things that we can measure, some metrics that we can look at, and we use this often. We talk about giving and forgiving. In practical ways, that it's measurable in my giving. You know, the Bible talks a lot about money. It talks about material things and how easy it is for those things to grab our hearts. It's not just people that are wealthy. There are many people that have set their hearts and minds on gaining things, and so their whole life is wrapped up on what can I get. In fact, there's a passage in the Bible that says, the love of money and material things is the root of all evil. Money itself is neutral. Material things are neutral. But it's the love, it's the desire, it's the pursuit of those things that can get me in trouble. And so the Bible talks about a way to arrest ourselves from getting into this area that's out of bounds, and how can I be faithful? And so it says that the way I'm faithful with when it comes to money is that the very first of what I get is I devote that to the work God does through his church. And there are two reasons for this. The second reason is to help provide resources so that we can fund the things that God wants us to do, whether it's staffing, whether it's properties, whether it's investing in materials and things for people, whatever those things are. The second reason God wants us to be faithful givers is because it's going to help fund the ministry, the work God wants done through his church. The number one reason God wants you and I to be faithful in our giving and using our financial resources is because it protects our heart. It reminds us of who our number one priority is. If you want to know what place God has in your life, all you have to do is go through your credit card statement or your checking account. And you can see what is the areas that I am most faithful in using my money for. And the very first should be putting that toward God, because it protects my heart. It's a way of seeking Him, putting Him first. Actually, the antidote to materialism is giving. But we'll get into that another time. So anyway, two metrics on this. One is my giving and the other is my forgiving. Forgiving is how I'm going to treat others. And it means that I'm going to choose to honor God by how I treat others, especially those that have done harm to me or have done something against me. And rather than holding it against them, I will let it go and trust God to deal with it. It doesn't mean I don't need to confront people at times or point things out, but it means that I'm willing to forgive. I'm going to let go of a grievance because I don't want it to rob my heart of being truly devoted to God. So this idea of being faithful, it means to be genuinely devoted, genuinely obedient to God. That's what He's looking for. He's not looking for pretend. He's looking for real. So, says that He is a rewarder of those who genuinely seek Him or sincerely seek Him. The word reward is pretty simple. It just means a benefit given for faithful service. It's a very important concept in the Bible. You see the word reward used often. I had an example of this happen last year. Becky and my daughter were using my truck, a family truck, and they had gone somewhere and they tried to start the truck and it wouldn't start. It appeared to be the battery, so we're members of AAA, have been for a long time. So I said, well, just call AAA, they'll come out. I knew it'd be expensive, but it was the only option at the time. The guy came out, looked at the truck, said, yeah, it needs a battery, and truck batteries are not cheap. And then he said something that really surprised us. He says, you know, you guys in your family have been very, very faithful members of AAA for a long time. So we're just going to give you this battery. There were no strings attached. Because we have been faithful and good customers, and we paid our bill every year, they gave us a battery. It was a reward for having been faithful. It was a big surprise. It was a wonderful thing. And quite honestly, it was really good PR for AAA. I've just advertised for them, by the way. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we slide into a relationship with God, a mentality with God, that we're looking for the reward, but not necessarily Him. It's almost as if some of you may mention a pickup truck. Some of you may be in a situation where you've got some neighbors that know you have a pickup truck. And the only time you ever hear from one of those neighbors is when they need to borrow your truck. They might call you and say something like, hey, how you doing? How's the truck? They're not devoted friends, because you don't see any, never do you hear from them any other time. I wonder how often God is treated that way. I'm looking for what He has. I'm looking for a reward. I'm not really seeking Him. I'm just seeking what He can give me. Or it may be that we slide into a mindset that we think that, well, I need to be rewarded before I begin doing the faithful stuff. In other words, you need to pay me up front. And then with my excess, I'll serve. Both of these are out of line. God says that He will reward those who sincerely seek Him. And that's the part we need to really look at and examine our own hearts in. The idea that He does that is He wants to make sure that we're in it with Him and for Him, and not just trying to baptize our own self-centeredness. God doesn't work in a way that subsidizes our selfishness or our foolishness. God works because He wants to do help us learn what is right and good and real. And He is ready to reward us when we do. Listen to what Jesus says. He says this in Matthew 5, He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, if you're doing good things, whatever those good things are, but you're doing it to get credit. You're doing it to get noticed by others. You will receive no reward from God. It says, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, he says, they have received all the reward they will ever get. They may think, oh, I'm doing these wonderful acts of charity. And in the midst of it, they're making sure everybody knows. If they give, in the case of giving in the temple, they might give it to where their bag of coins drops really, really loud so people see it. Or they have some people go around and whispering, say, but did you see how much Eddie and Martha gave? Wow, that was huge. God says that when you and I do that, we're just showing our self-centeredness. And there's no reward from him on that. But when you give to someone in need, it says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. The idea behind all this is simple, is that God's looking for genuine sincerity on my part and yours. And he will reward those things that we do with the right heart. He's not looking just for external actions. He's looking for us to surrender our hearts to him and the things he says matter. And then when we do, there will be a reward waiting for us. There'll be a time when history wraps up and we'll have this reward that he has waiting for us. Another promise in this future kind of reward is this. Jesus said this, he goes, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Jesus is making it clear there are going to be times when you and I are treated unjustly and unfairly. And to not be disheartened by that, but to recognize that's part of life on planet Earth, where there is ungodly attitudes and actions. And sometimes when the people that are trying their best to do what is right take huge hits for it. Jesus did, his disciples did. Many that have gone before us have been mistreated because of their faith. Many of us are going to endure intense difficulty and suffering, and much of that because of our faith in Christ. Because we stand for what is true and right and good. There is a reward awaiting us when we do. We're not glad about difficulty, but we're glad that God sees it. Remember, there's not a part of my life and yours that he's unaware of. And he will take great care of us. And there'll be a time when history wraps up. And remember, our 70 or 80 years here on earth, in the scope of eternity, will seem very, very small, very short, not insignificant, but very short. Recently, a lot of us have seen in the news and read about John Lewis, who was a civil rights leader and an activist. And in the 60s, he paid a high price for his peaceful protesting along with many others. Beaten and arrested and really went through difficulty for what he called doing good trouble, getting into good trouble. At his funeral, there were many that spoke, and one of the pastors that spoke there said that now that Mr. Lewis has passed, that he's entered into a great reward, that he'll be welcomed home with that reward. You and I, if we live faithfully to Christ, if we honor him, if we don't lean on our own understanding, but pursue him and are genuinely devoted and obedient to him, we can count on there being a reward waiting for us, that God will not miss a single thing that we've done for him. He will be ready, and it'll be a tremendous homecoming. Please, if you're struggling right now, if you're having difficulty and feeling kind of left out or abandoned, you're not. Those that have gone before us have struggled. They have done without. But God never, never abandons or rips off his children. So that's a future reward. But I want to tell you about another one. And there's a reward available to you and me now. And I want you to see what Becky's drawing. She's got a treasure chest here. There's a shovel. Someone's been digging. They found this chest full of all kind of wonderful rewards. And I'm not talking here about prosperity, the so-called prosperity gospel. There are some leaders, some teachers, some charismatic personalities that will quickly sell you on programs telling you that God wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to have all your desires. And if you just pray, generally, if you support their ministries and purchase materials they sell, that God's going to make you wealthy and give you all kind of things because you deserve it. You're a king's kid. It's disgusting. And I'm not going to say anything here that I'll regret later, but don't buy into that stuff. It is so not true. God wants us to be cared for? Yes. Does God want all of us to be wealthy? No. He wants us to have resources, but he wants us to be a conduit of those resources to help others. There was an instance in Jesus' life, you read about it in Mark 10, where a wealthy young leader, influential person came to Jesus, and He wasn't seeking God. He was seeking a reward. And he came and said, Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And the only time Jesus ever did this, he just looked at this guy and knew what his heart was wrapped around. He goes, look, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the guy left. He was not willing to do it. It wasn't because of what he owned. It was what owned him. And that was his comfort, his convenience. It was his status. Jesus' disciples saw that, and they just said, well, man, if this guy can't make it, what about us? And listen to what Peter said to Jesus. He said, we've left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them, persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. It's a really interesting thing that he has said here. There is something about it, and it's very realistic. He's saying there's, in this present life, God will reward you and me. There'll be things that we give up for his sake. There may be relationships we lose. Some of us have lost jobs, we've lost relationship with family and friends because of our faith in Christ, because we stand up for him and what he says is true and right and just. And Jesus is saying, no one who gives up anything for me is going to ultimately miss out. And in fact, I'm going to make sure you have everything you need. I'm going to provide even more than you can imagine. But I am not going to do it by taking away persecution. There'll be times you have to deal with that too. So he's going to reward us, but it's going to be in the midst of struggle and difficulty. This is very hopeful. It inspires courage and inspires strength on our part. And I love it. And we'll get into this more later. But I just want to read one part of this again and then give an illustration as we close. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. And that includes homes and brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, but also persecution. A big part of God's reward for you and me in this life is being connected to his church, his family, where we have brothers and sisters and friends and those that walk alongside with us. We're not alone, and there's encouragement, there's support, there's these comrades in arms that we get to work with. It is a huge benefit. And I am concerned that people are missing out on this, and in some cases because of their own comfort level or just wanting to have their life neat and tidy, people have walked away from Jesus' church. So as a way of trying to reinforce this, I want you to see some clips. There's a movie, Rudy. A lot of you have seen it, I know. And there are two scenes I want us to use in this as we close out this message. Rudy is a kid that wants to play football. He wants to attend and play football at Notre Dame. there are only two problems. He's a terrible student and he's not a great athlete. But he has a dream. He has his passion for it. So he works really hard and he finally gets into Notre Dame. He actually gets to be on the practice squad, but he is not a good athlete. He is not going to be a starter on the football team. And he is increasingly disappointed because he has a dream, he has a goal, he has a plan. It's not coming about. You know, we live in a world where people say, if you're just passionate enough about something, you can make it happen. And I'm not going to get into that, but passion alone doesn't do much. He's disappointed. He's ready to quit because his ideas, his dreams, his hopes have not been realized. And then he meets a guy he's seen many times at the school, a maintenance worker, and he gets challenged about his attitude. I want you to watch this, and then we'll come back together afterwards.
Hey. What you doing here? Don't you have practice?
Not anymore. I quit.
Oh. Well, since when are you the quitting kind?
I don't know. I just don't see the point anymore.
So you didn't make the dress list. There are greater tragedies in the world.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel. For my dad. To prove to everyone that I worked...
Prove what?
That I was somebody.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years. And you're also going to walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't gonna never happen. Now go on back.
I'm sorry I never got you to see your first game in here.
Hell, I've seen too many games in this stadium.
I thought you said you never saw a game.
I've never seen a game from the stands.
You were a player?
I rode the bench for 2 years. Thought I wasn't being played because of my color. I got filled up with a lot of attitude. So I quit. Still not a week goes by, I don't regret it. And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you. You hear me clear enough?
Rudy listens, and he does change. Instead of being locked into his own agenda, he recognizes that there's something more here and he needs to adjust. He has a purpose he can fulfill. He's not a great athlete, but he has the heart that the team needs. He's an encourager. He's a support. He has his never quit kind of let's get after it with all we've got mentality. And as a result of him being on the practice squad, him working with the others, he makes the team significantly better than they would have been. He's not a star. He's a support player, but he's a great one. And along the way, he has earned the respect of all those on the team. They have seen him as a guy that really has something that they need, something that's benefited all of them. And they come alongside him. It's coming up to the last game of the season. Rudy's career is going to be over. And the team has seen just how valuable he is. And they're in a game that coming up. And these guys come and lobby the coach because they want Rudy to be able to play at least in one game before his career is over. Watch how they come alongside him. This is part of the reward that God offers you and me. It's a picture of it.
What's going on down there? Let's get back to work. ready, fire!
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Roland. Come in.
I want Rudy to dress in my place, Coach. He deserves it.
Don't be ridiculous. Georgia Tech is one of the top offensive teams in the country. You're an All-American and our captain. Act like it.
I believe I am.
Me too, Coach. I want Rudy to dress in my place. Coach, it's for Rudy. It's for Rudy, Coach.
I love that scene. It goes on, and we can see in the movie Rudy playing, and it's a great fanfare. But God is ready, and I'll close with this. He's ready to reward you and me if we will be faithful, if we'll seek Him. Not seek the reward, but seek Him. He will reward us in the process later, but also now too. If we don't demand our own way, if we don't get bitter and believe we deserve something better than we have, God can be utterly trusted. I want you to think about that right now. What is it that you need to do to realign your life with Him, to genuinely seek Him? Because when you do, He will take great care of you. He's given us these promises, this one about rewarding and providing for us. I've asked Dan Deaver if he would close us in prayer. Dan, would you please pray for us?
Thank you, Rusty. We appreciate your kindness, your wisdom, and your steadfast faithfulness. So many people have benefited from your teaching and your example over the years, and I'm one of them. My name is Dan Deaver, and I work with small groups and lay counseling, and I'd like to lead us in prayer. So if you'll pray with me. God, your word is a supernatural link, an unexplained connection, a doorway to you. Thank you for your word that is steadfast, strong, a foundation made to build our lives on. Will we adopt the ways and thinking of the world, or will we follow your word and your ways no matter what? No matter what challenges we face, no matter what viruses or sickness we encounter, no matter how imperfect, difficult, or unfair the world may be, may we always run to you for wisdom and insight and hope. And may we have the courage to do right. Today, Rusty spoke about the benefits of faithfulness now in the present as well as in the life to come in heaven. May we be found faithful like those people mentioned in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is filled with stories and examples of those that are faithful. May we be counted among the faithful like Noah and Enoch and Abel and Abraham and Noah. Do we really believe that living life according to God's ways will be better? Do we believe that if we live out God's ways in the smallest details of life, that in the end things will be better for us and those we love? I heard a pastor once say, God will not rip us off. When I heard this, I took a deep sigh of relief. And I realized there was a battle inside of me, that I wrestled with what I wanted against what God wanted. I had a fear of life not turning out like I wanted. Could I fully trust God with the future? I love that the characters in the Bible are like us. And I know this because the story says that Noah built the ark in holy fear. He was faithful and he built the ark, but he was also filled with fear. Fear and faith are not opposites. They actually go hand in hand. And we face fear all the time, just like Noah did. One decision at a time, we must face our fears and do right anyway. God, may we fully trust that your ways are better now and in the future. I'd like to wrap up just by reading this, something that really means a lot to me that I read many years ago. And I think it really captures this battle of faithfulness. It's entitled Anyway, and it was found written on the wall in Mother Teresa's home for children in Calcutta. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, you may be jealous. They may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Be faithful, my friends.